What's the matter?
Someone just tried the door.
Well, perhaps it was the armor, one of the boys.
They never come at this time.
Well, who else could it be?
Who? Get dressed. Where are your shoes?
Look, it can't possibly be Walter.
Quickly, Charlie.
How shall I get out?
Oh, is it the veranda? Is there? He's trying to get in.
Shh. He's gone. Whoever it is, they've gone. For God's sake, don't do that. If we're in for it, we're in for it. We shall just have to brazen it out.
Where's your hat?
I left it downstairs.
Oh, my God!
I say, you really must pull yourself together. It's 100 to 1 it wasn't Walter. He never does come home in the middle of the day, does he?
Never.
I'll bet you anything you like, it was the armour. Do you feel up to going out on the veranda, having a look?
Suppose he's waiting out there.
Oh, have a little pluck, Kitty, hmm? How can it have been him? Now, if he'd come in and seen a strange hat in the hall and come upstairs and found the room locked, surely he would have made some sort of row. Look, it must have been one of the servants.
It's not very pleasant, even if it was only the armour.
She can be squared, and if necessary, I'll put the fear of God into her. There aren't many advantages in being a government official, but you may as well get what you can out of it. I'll go and have a look.
There's not a soul. Nobody.
I believe the whole thing was an optical delusion. You look frightfully beautiful when you're stricken, you know.
Don't you dare smile. I was terrified.
It was my fault. I shouldn't have come. I couldn't resist it.
I hate him. I hate Walter. I hate him.
Listen here. If there's any trouble, I guarantee to get you out of it. You know you can count on me. Well, you know what I must do now?
Bolt.
Tell me you're not frightened anymore.
I'm not. Look at him. Of course, it was stupid to behave like that, but when he wants me, 6'2" and always the best-dressed man in the room, the best dancer I've ever known. The most popular man in the colony. He plays tennis and polo and golf, and he's good at them all. And what's Walter good at? Bridge. Who cares about bridge? Of course, Walter's clever. Everyone seems to think so. He's polite and kind. He stands up when I enter a room. If we happen to meet in the street, he takes off his hat. He loves me so, obviously, but dull. So dull. And I knew it from the very first moment. From before I married him. Why did I ever marry him?
I wanted to say something to you. I'm away to Hong Kong in 3 weeks.
Are you? You'll be missed at the Baddeley's party. There's barely a single man left to dance these days.
The times we've spent together have meant more to me than I can say.
Really?
Kitty, I want to ask you if you'll marry me.
What?
I wanted to ask you before, but I'm very awkward and clumsy. Didn't you know that I was awfully in love with you?
No.
I'm so stupid. I want to tell you that I love you more than anything in the world, but I find it so awfully difficult to say.
It's very kind of you.
No, don't answer me now. You must think about it.
I never thought of you that way.
I fell in love with you the first time I saw you.
But I barely know you.
I believe I improve on acquaintance.
You're back late?
I think it's about the usual time.
I was just going to dress for dinner. Are you hungry?
I don't believe so.
I can't see the print before my eyes. My head throbs violently. We sit in silence for what might be an hour.
Is that a new issue of Sketch?
I don't know. I don't think I've seen it.
He sits staring at a magazine he's read a dozen times over. Now, say it. Do what you will, but now.
Kitty.
Yes?
I have some work to do. If you don't mind, I'll go to my study. I dare say you'll have gone to bed by the time I've finished.
Good night, then.
Good night.
He turns in the doorway. For an instant, I see a look in his eyes of such mortal sadness that it turns my whole body cold.
Mr. Townsend, upstairs. You go up, yes?
I'll find my own way. Thank you.
So degrading to meet this way in a stuffy, frowsy little room above a curio shop. But it's what we do, and it's worth it.
Darling.
No, no, he knows. I don't think I closed my eyes all night.
What did he say?
He hasn't said anything. It's the way he looks, the way he talks. For the first time since we married, he didn't kiss me goodnight.
Why do you imagine he didn't say anything?
I don't know.
Heaven knows. I don't want to say anything disagreeable about him, but when you come down to brass tacks, a bacteriologist is no great shakes. Chances are that I shall be colonial secretary when Simmons goes home, and it's to Walter's interest to keep on the right side of me.
Has it occurred to you that he's madly in love with me? What?
Women are often under the impression that men are much more madly in love with them than they really are.
What a monstrous thing to say. At all events, I shall never delude myself that you are madly in love with me.
Oh, well, that's where you're wrong.
Oughtn't you go and have your tiffin?
Damn my tiffin. If he's in love with you, perhaps he doesn't want to lose you altogether. But I swear I'd accept anything rather than that if you were my wife.
Oh, Charlie, you must never let me go.
Never.
Later, alone in the house, I try to rest, but my head's full of Walter. Maybe he won't speak. Charlie's right. The fear of a scene might be too much altogether. If he can't bear to lose me, perhaps he can bear it in silence.
Who is it?
Will you come into the next room? I want to have a little talk with you.
Yes, of course.
Won't you sit down?
I don't usually see you in the afternoon. How did you manage to get away from the laboratory?
Have you heard of Mei Tafu? There's a good deal about it in the papers lately.
Dr. Arbuthnot was talking about it last week at dinner. Isn't that the place where there's cholera?
There's an epidemic. The worst they've had for years. There was a medical missionary there. He died 3 days ago. There's a French convent, and of course there's the customs man. Everyone else has got out. The nuns are doing what they can, but the people are dying like flies. I've offered to go and take charge.
You? Is that necessary?
There's not a foreign doctor in the place, and it'll be an admirable chance for research.
But won't it be awfully dangerous?
Awfully. Mei Tafu's on the tributary of the Western River. We should travel up the river and then by chair. We'll leave the day after tomorrow.
Who is we?
You and I.
You're expecting me to come too?
I thought you'd like to.
Surely it's no place for a woman. I should never stand the heat up there and cholera. It's absurd. I hate illness. I don't pretend to be very brave, and I don't mind telling you that I haven't the pluck for that. I should die. I shall stay here.
I should have thought you'd want to accompany me on such a dangerous expedition. You could cheer and comfort me.
I'm not going, Walter. It's monstrous to ask me.
Then I shan't go either. I shall immediately file my petition for divorce and you'll be publicly disgraced. I have all the necessary proof.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm afraid you think me a bigger fool than I am.
You're not going to do much by crying, you know.
Well, I don't care. Do as you wish. Divorce me.
You believe Townsend will marry you? Townsend will marry you only if the case is so shameless that his wife is forced to divorce him.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You stupid fool.
If you want the truth, you can have it. He's only too anxious to marry me. Dorothy Townsend is perfectly willing to divorce him and we shall be married the moment we're free.
Did he tell you that in so many words, or is that the impression you gained from his manner?
He said it over and over and over again.
That's a lie, and you know it's a lie.
He loves me with all his heart and soul. He loves me as passionately as I love him. I'm glad you know at last. We've been lovers for a year, and he means everything in the world to me. I was a fool to have ever married you. I never cared for you. We never had anything in common. Do you know why I married you?
Because you wanted to be married before your sister Doris. Because you wanted to get away from your mother. I had no illusions about you. I knew you were vulgar and commonplace, but I loved you. I knew that you were second rate, but I loved you. I knew how frightened you were of intelligence, and I did everything I could to make you think me as big a fool as the rest of the men you knew. I never expected you to love me.
If a man hasn't what's necessary to make a woman love him, it's his fault, not hers.
Evidently.
I'm just a perfectly ordinary young woman, Walter. I'm not very well educated and I'm not very clever. I like the things that the people like amongst whom I've lived all my life. I like dancing and tennis and theatres, and I like the men who play games. I'm sorry if I haven't been all you've expected me to be. Unfortunately, I've always found you physically repulsive. You can hardly blame me for that.
I don't.
Why didn't you break into the room when you knew Charlie was there? You might at least have tried to thrash him.
It may be that, like a historical character, I'm too proud to fight. I've said all I need to say. Come with me to Mae Tarfu, or I shall file my petition.
Why won't you let me divorce you? After all, it means nothing to a man.
If Mrs. Townsend will give me her assurance that she will divorce her husband, and if he will give me his written promise to marry you within a week of the decrees being made absolute, I will do that.
That's very generous of you, Walter. What are you laughing at?
I beg your pardon. I dare say my sense of humour is peculiar. You'd better look sharp if you want to catch Townsend at his office.
Do you want me to tell him today?
They say there's no time like the present.
I don't think you know what love is. You have no conception how desperately in love Charlie and I are. It really is the only thing that matters, and every sacrifice that our love calls for will be as easy as falling off a log.
I hope for your sake that your faith is well placed.
Mr. Townsend will see you now, miss.
Thank you.
Mrs. Fane, sir.
Pleased to see you, Mrs. Fane. Do take a seat. That'll be all. Thank you.
Sir?
I say, my dear, you really mustn't come here in working hours. We don't want to give people a chance to gossip.
I wouldn't have come unless it was necessary.
Oh, is anything the matter? Oh, my dear, don't cry. Tell me all about it.
Walter wants a divorce.
What exactly do you mean?
I've come straight from the house now. He says he has all the proof he wants.
You didn't commit yourself, did you? You didn't acknowledge anything?
No.
Are you quite sure?
Quite sure.
Ah, this is a bloody mess we've got into. No use losing our heads. Thing to do now is to see how we're going to get out of it. I don't suppose you want to be divorced any more than I do. I don't know how we can actually prove that we were together in that room. Our line is to deny everything.
Why need we deny it?
The worst comes to the worst, I shall have to tell the governor. He'll curse me like hell, but he's a good fellow and a man of the world. He can bring pressure to bear on Walter. If he can't get at him through his ambition, he'll get at him through his sense of duty.
You don't know Walter. You don't realise how angry he is.
I know that every man has his price. Is it his idea to name me in the case?
It was. Eventually I managed to get him to consent to let me divorce him quietly.
Oh, well, that seems to me a very good way out. After all, it's the least a man can do.
He makes a condition, Charlie.
Well, of course, I'm not a very rich man, but I'll do anything in my power.
Charlie, he agrees to my divorcing him only if your wife will give him the assurance that she will divorce you. And it's awfully hard to say, Charlie. It sounds dreadful. If you'll promise to marry me immediately.
You know, darling, whatever happens, we must keep Dorothy out of this.
How can we do that?
Nothing would induce her to divorce me. It's quite out of the question.
Try
not to upset yourself, darling. We must keep our heads.
Don't you love me?
Of course I love you, but we can't only think of ourselves in this world. If it came to it, I could make a clean breast of it to Dorothy. She'd be dreadfully hurt and wretched, but she'd forgive me.
Well, you told me she meant nothing to you.
I never did. I said I wasn't in love with her. But we've always been excellent friends.
But...
My dear, you must be reasonable. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but really, I must tell you the truth. I'm rather keen on my career. There's no reason why I shouldn't be governor one of these days, and it's a damn soft job to be a colonial governor. Without Dorothy sticking by me, I don't think I stand a dog's chance.
Was it necessary to tell me that you wanted nothing in the world but me?
Oh, my dear, it's rather hard to take quite literally the things a man says when he's in love with you. You really must be reasonable.
How can I be reasonable? To me, our love was everything. It's not very pleasant to find out to you it was only an episode.
Of course it wasn't an episode. One can be very much in love with a woman without wishing to spend the rest of one's life with her.
You don't know how I love you. I can't live without you. If you desert me, I shall die.
There's really no use in being melodramatic.
Walter wants me to go to Mei Tam Fu.
Where the cholera is? Oh, but you can't possibly go there.
Well, if you let me down, I shall have to.
What do you mean?
Walter is taking the place of a missionary doctor who died. He's given me a choice. I must either go to Mei Tam Fu with him now at once, or else he'll bring an action to divorce me.
Well, it's a damn sporting thing of him to go there. Oh, I wouldn't fancy it.
It means death. Absolutely certain death.
Oh, damn it all. It's rather an exaggeration. It's no more of a risk for you than for him. I've been here when there's cholera and I haven't turned a hair. The great thing is not to eat anything uncooked, no raw fruit or salads, and see that your drinking water is boiled. But after all, it's his job, isn't it? It's rather a chance for him if you come to think of it.
But don't you see, it'll kill me. Do you know that he's taking me there because he knows it'll kill me?
Oh, my dear, don't talk like that. When you look at it calmly, you'll be all right.
Do you want me to go?
It's only fair to tell you that if your husband brought an action for divorce and won it, I should not be in a position to marry you.
I don't think my husband ever thought of bringing an action. He made the threat only because he knew that you'd crumple up at it, Charlie. He knew that you were vain, cowardly and self-seeking. He wanted me to see it with my own eyes.
If it really gives you any satisfaction to say beastly things to me, I suppose I've got no right to complain.
And now I know all that he knew. I know that you are callous and heartless. That you're selfish, selfish beyond words. I know you're a liar and a humbug. And the tragic part is... the tragic part is that in spite of all that, I love you with all my heart.
Oh, Kitty.
Oh, no, don't touch me.
What are you going to do?
Don't be afraid. You'll come to no harm. You'll be quite safe. You fool. You contemptible fool.
Pack nothing but the necessities. Everything will have to be carried.
Yes, Dr. Fane.
I'm coming with you to that place.
Oh, good.
I suppose I needn't take more than a few summer things and a shroud, need I?
I've already told your armor what you'll want. I trust you've said your goodbyes.
Do you take joy in this?
Believe me, Kitty, I'm very far from joy.
Carried in chairs along a narrow causeway, day after day, gazing through the netting at the interminable vista of rice fields. Behind us a line of servants struggling under our belongings, setting out at dawn and then travelling into the heat of the day, taking shelter a while and then on again, into the long, hot night, biting my hand so as not to scream. Charlie! Charlie! Walter? What's wrong with the bearers? Why have we stopped?
We've almost arrived. The town's just beyond the hill.
What are they so upset about?
This is the graveyard for Mei Tafu.
For miles and miles, little green mounds, close, close to one another, ripped like sea sand when the tide has gone out. And further out, soil mounds, where no grass grows. Row up an endless row of freshly buried dead. Four peasants appear suddenly, quick and silent, bearing a coffin. There's fresh wood gleaming white in the coming darkness. I feel Walter's eyes on me. A look on his face. Could it be hatred? Disgust? I wonder, is it possible that Walter is not quite sane? Carry those straight through to the bedroom.
May I come in? Oh. My name's Waddington. I'm the deputy commissioner.
Oh, the customs, of course. We heard that you were here.
Yeah, I live at the bottom of the hill. I thought you'd be too fagged to come and dine with me, so I've ordered your dinner here and I've invited myself.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it.
You'll find the cook's not bad. He's whipping up something for you right now. I kept on Watson's boys for you.
Watson was the missionary who was here.
Yes, very nice fellow. I'll show you his grave tomorrow, if you like.
How kind of you.
I say, I couldn't trouble you for a whiskey and soda, could I?
Of course.
No, don't move. I'll fix it. Have you brought any gramophone records?
No, I don't think so.
I'm sorry for that. I'm sick of all my old ones.
I see you've met my wife.
Ah, well, I've just been breaking it to your missus that I'm dining with you since Watson died. I haven't had anybody much to talk to but the nuns, and I never can do myself justice in French. Yeah, here's luck. Well, you've got your work cut out for you here. The people are dying like flies, about 100 a day, last count. The magistrate's lost his head, and Colonel Yu, the officer commanding the troops, is having a devil of a job to prevent them from looting. If something doesn't happen soon, we shall be all murdered in our beds.
Why haven't you gone?
I've lost half my staff. The other half are about to lie down and die at any minute. Somebody's got to keep things together.
Have you been inoculated?
Yes. Watson did me. But he did himself too, and it didn't do him much good. Poor blighter.
Shall we go through? I must be out early tomorrow.
I hope you don't mind me not dressing for dinner. My boy died last week, and the boy I have now is a fool, so I've given up on the whole formality.
Won't you sit for dinner, Kitty?
So, how's Hong Kong? It's been a while since I was there.
Well, I'm sure it's just as you left it.
You don't know Dr. Arbuthnot?
We dined with him just last month.
Ah, fabulous fellow. Terrific tennis player. Huh. And what about Charles Townsend? Is he going to become colonial secretary?
I shouldn't wonder.
Yeah, we travelled out from home together once. Do you know him well?
Hardly at all.
Good God, you're not going to eat that.
What?
The boy's crazy to serve it.
Why?
Touch nothing uncooked. A green salad here will work as well as a dose of arsenic.
Surely the danger's exaggerated.
Kitty, put it down. Don't be absurd.
Thank you for your concern, Walter.
It's always dangerous. It's madness now. You'll kill yourself. Get out of your mind.
It's very good. Won't you try some, Walter?
Well, yes. Why not?
You're both completely out of your minds.
Darling.
How could you? How could you?
I'm sorry, darling. I'm so sorry.
I'll die here. I'll die.
Shh. If there's any trouble, I guarantee to get you out of it. You know you can count on me.
You must never let me go.
Oh, never. Never.
Charlie.
You know you can count on me.
Charlie, I can't. Where are you?
Darling.
No. Charlie!
You can count on me.
The dawn sun lights a cluster of green and yellow roofs, like the magic palace of an emperor where no human could enter. Beautiful and mocking. If I touched it, would it disappear? God, someone help me. Please.
There aren't many walks, I'm afraid, but we'll go to the top of the hill.
It's good to be out of that house.
The Mother Superior asked me to bear a message.
I shouldn't have thought she was aware of my existence.
She says though you may not wish to adventure into the centre of the epidemic, it will give her great pleasure to show you the convent. Oh. It's not nearly as risky as you might think. I go there 2 or 3 times a week.
Well, if you're not frightened, there's no reason why I should be.
They live in the middle of the city in the poorest district. There are 6 of them there now. What's the matter?
Look. He looks as if he were dead.
He is dead. Come along. You'd better look the other way. I'll have him moved when we come back.
I've never seen anyone dead before.
You'll see a good many more before you're done with this cheerful spot. Come.
Did he die of cholera?
I suppose so.
How can you talk and laugh and drink whiskey when people are dying all around you?
You know this is no place for a woman. Why don't you go?
I should have thought my place is at my husband's side.
When they telegraphed me that you were coming with Fane, I was astonished. Well, I came to the conclusion that you and your husband were madly in love with each other. I knew that you hadn't been married very long. I couldn't believe that he'd wish you to come, but thought perhaps you'd absolutely refuse to stay behind.
It's a reasonable explanation.
But it isn't the right one. I don't think for a moment that you're in love with your husband. I think you dislike him. I shouldn't be surprised if you hated him, but I'm quite sure you're afraid of him.
I have a suspicion that you don't very much like my husband.
I respect him. If any man single-handed can put a stop to this frightful epidemic, he's going to do it. He's doctoring the sick, cleaning the city up, trying to get the drinking water pure, risking his life 20 times a day. He's got Colonel Yu in his pocket. And the nuns at the convent swear by him. They think he is a hero.
Don't you?
Your husband isn't here because he cares a damn if 100,000 Chinese die of cholera. He isn't here either in the interests of science. So why is he here?
You better ask him.
Well, you're a very pretty woman. It's funny that your husband should never look at you.
Do you think he doesn't love me?
Well, I don't know. I've asked myself if you're both here to commit suicide.
Should we go home? I'm sure you want a whiskey and soda.
Are you sure you don't want to go away? I'll help you. Must you stay?
Yes. It's dreadful, isn't it?
What?
Death. That man hardly looked human. It's hard to think that not so very many years ago he was just a little boy, tearing down a hill and flying a kite.
We shouldn't be too long now. The bearers will carry us right to the convent door.
The stench! It's horrible.
The sanitation here isn't what you're used to in Hong Kong.
Missy. Some money, please.
Let go of me.
Please.
No, please, leave me alone.
Help me, please, Missy. Missy.
Oh,
mercy.
Wouldn't have done you any harm, you know. Here we are. Thank you. That's for your trouble. Ring the bell, Mrs. Fane. Don't be shy. You mustn't expect anything very grand, you know. They're miserably poor.
Monsieur Waddington, bonjour.
Bonjour.
C'est la dame du docteur?
Yes, oui, bonjour.
Come in.
To a très belle comme toujours, Sir Saint-Joseph.
Mrs. Fane, this is our Mother Superior.
It is a great pleasure to me to make the acquaintance of the wife of our good and brave doctor.
Thank you. It's very kind of you to invite me.
A pleasure to see you, Mr. Waddington. Mm-hmm. We see you sober, I hope.
Oh, come, ma mère, you speak as though I were a confirmed drunkard.
I wish you could say you never drink, Mr. Waddington.
I never drink, except to excess.
We must make allowances for Mr. Waddington, Mrs. Fane, because two or three times, when we had no money at all and did not know how we were to feed the orphans, Mr. Waddington came to our rescue. If you'd like to see the convent, I'd be glad to show you.
Thank you. Merci.
I am sorry you should see it just now when everything is in disorder. We have much work and not enough sisters to do it. This is where the older girls work at their embroidery. We go on with it in spite of the epidemic because it takes their minds off the danger. Here we have the little mites, as you English say.
Don't shy away, my dear. They don't bite.
Bonjour, mes petites. They are beautiful, are they not?
Yes. Is it normal that they are so small?
I should say so. They're children.
You know, of course, that they are only orphans in the sense that their parents have wished to be rid of them. We give them a few cash for every child that is brought in. Otherwise, they will not take the trouble, but do away with them. Have any come today, Sir Saint-Joseph?
4, ma mère.
Now, with the cholera, they are more than ever anxious not to be burdened with useless girls. Come along. I will not show you the infirmary. It is not a sight that one would wish to see. Your husband is here, Mrs. Fane, but his duties are many. We shouldn't disturb him.
Ma mère, un autre soldat est décédé.
What was that?
Another of the soldiers has died. We lose one almost every hour.
How terrible.
Your husband fought bravely for him. Would you like to see the babies that came in this morning before you go?
Very much so.
They seem very lively. Sometimes they are brought in only to die. Of course, we baptize them the moment they come.
Your husband will be pleased with them. I think he could play by the hour with the babies. When they cry, he has only to take them up and they laugh with delight.
You do not know how kind and helpful your husband has been to us. He has been sent to us by heaven. I am glad that you came here with him. When he goes home, it must be a great comfort to him to have you there with your love. You must not let him work too hard. You must take care of him, for all our sakes.
The temple above the river just beginning to show. Its green roofs dull now in the early evening light. Just a building. Just wood and stone. Nothing airy or magical. Nothing like it appeared in that first dawn. What a fool I've been. It's plain what Charlie is. I love a worthless creature and I'm as worthless as he. If I could tear him from my heart, if I could tear my heart from my body. And Walter, brave, clever, tender.
Don't you want a lamp?
They'll bring it when dinner's ready. Walter, what do you suppose we should do if we get through the epidemic?
I haven't thought.
May I ask you a question?
Of course.
Did you really want me to die when you brought me here?
If I were you, I'd leave well alone, Kitty. Much better to forget.
But you don't forget. Neither do I. I've been thinking a great deal since I came here. I don't ask you to forgive me or to love me as you used to. But couldn't we be friends? With all these people dying in thousands round us and with those nuns in their convent...
What have they got to do with it?
Well, I can't quite explain. I had such a singular feeling when I went there today. It's all so terrible and their sacrifice is so wonderful. I can't help feeling... It's absurd to distress yourself over a foolish, insignificant woman like me. Mr. Waddington and the nuns have told me such wonderful things about you. I'm very proud of you, Walter.
You used not to be. You used to feel contempt for me. Don't you still?
I only want you to be a little less unhappy.
You're mistaken in thinking I'm unhappy. I have a great deal too much to do to think of you very often.
I've wondered if the nuns would allow me to go and work at the convent. If I could be of any help to them, I should be grateful.
I doubt that that sort of thing would amuse you for long.
Do you absolutely despise me, Walter?
No. I despise myself.
Why?
Because I loved you.
I lie awake all night and returning to me over and over the image of the beggar, his skin hard and rough like the hide of a goat, his bare emaciated legs, his head, the cheeks hollow, the eyes wild, the head of a madman. And just as sharply I see the babies of the convent wriggling and writhing. Red and restless, their quaint little faces screwed in grimaces. Their lives, blades of grass blowing in the wind.
I must ask you to excuse me for keeping you waiting. I was occupied.
Something happened. Would you like me to go away?
No. Tell me what I can do for you. It is... Only that one of our sisters died last night.
Oh.
It is very wicked of me to grieve, for I know her soul will have flown straight to heaven. She was a saint. I have been writing to her father. She, like me, was her mother's only daughter.
I'm so dreadfully sorry.
She was one of the sisters who came from France with me 10 years ago. There are only 5 of us left now. Oh, there is so much to do, and now fewer than ever to do it.
That encourages me, Mamir. I wonder, would you allow me to help here? I don't mind what I do. I should be thankful if you would just let me scrub the floors.
My dear, do you not think you have done enough in coming here with your husband? That is more than many wives would have the courage to do.
I have nothing whatever to do from morning till night. There is so much to be done that I cannot bear to think that I am idle.
You don't look very strong.
I promise you, I'm not afraid of hard work, and I'm not at all afraid of the cholera. Could I not be of help to the sisters in nursing?
You do not know what the cholera is. I am sure your husband would not wish it. It is a terrible and frightening sight.
Well, I should grow used to it.
No, it is out of the question.
You make me feel very useless and very helpless.
Have you spoken to your husband of your wish?
Yes.
Of course, you are Protestant.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I think I can find something for you to do. It is true that it is impossible now for us to cope with the work. When will you be ready to start?
Now.
À la bonne heure.
I promise to do my best. I'm very grateful to you.
I must tell you, my dear child, that one cannot find peace in work or in pleasure, in the world or in a convent, but only in one's soul. You mustn't come here wishing to be set free.
You have to cross-stitch the hem, or it won't hold.
I can't, miss.
You can. Look. See, you'll get it. You have clever hands.
I can't do it like you.
Well, that's it. Well done. You see? That's very good.
Ne pleure pas, ma petite.
Does she understand it all?
It's not the words that matter, but the sounds.
Did she have an accident? Her head.
She was born this way. N'est-ce pas, ma petite? When her parents abandoned her, she was at death's door. Now she thrives.
You don't think it's a pity?
A pity?
That she was born at all.
You wouldn't believe the trouble we've had to keep her with us. 3 or 4 times we thought our little soul would escape to heaven. Take her hand. She understands. Her name is Lynn.
Hello, Lynn. No, no need to cry. You're all right.
I am never so happy as when I am among the children.
Do you never wish to go home?
It would be too hard to come back. Of course, it is all very well to be a nun. Still, one has a mother. She is old, my mother, and it is hard never to see her again.
It's a wonderful sacrifice you make.
I knew from my first day in this city that I had found my place. We began to take in the baby girls right away, to save them from neglect and from the grave. There was nothing where we stand. Mother Superior made plans for the convent, but often there was not enough money to pay the builders. We had no beds and nothing to keep out the night air. We lived like peasants. Peasants would throw to the pigs the food we ate. Then one evening, when there seemed no hope, Mother Superior collected us to her. We prayed the whole night to the Blessed Virgin, and would you believe it? The next morning that funny Monsieur Waddington came from the customs office to see us, with his little monkey face and his butchering of the French language. He said we looked as though we all wanted a good plate of roast beef, and gave us $100.
He's a surprising man. In the midst of this epidemic, he carries himself as though he were enjoying a holiday.
His morals are not all one could wish. He drinks so much, you know.
I've noticed.
But what am I thinking of? I am a bad religieuse. I have 1,000 things to do and I sit here...
Wait, no, you should know how grateful I am to you for allowing me to help you here. It means a great deal to me. If the Mother Superior would let me assist with the nursing...
She wouldn't allow it. And you mustn't mention it. In any case, the cholera is easing now. The worst days are behind us.
What are they doing?
It's a romping game they play. You have to watch they don't crack their little heads.
Attention, les enfants!
Come, Lynn! Come! Do let me beat you!
Is this how you keep these children good and quiet?
We were having a game, Mother. They got excited. It's my fault. I led them on.
Oh, que vous êtes belle, ma chère enfant. It does the heart good to look at you. No wonder these children adore you.
You make me ashamed.
Why? Beauty is a gift from God. And we should be thankful if we are happy enough to possess it. And thankful if we are not, that others possess it for our pleasure. No wonder the good doctor loves you.
brought you some lunch.
Oh, thank you. I suppose you'll be returning to Hong Kong in a couple of months. The cholera seems to be abating and the cool weather should see the end of it.
I almost think I should be sorry to go.
Take care the nuns don't start converting you.
Oh, they're much too busy. Nor do they care. They're wonderful and so kind. And yet, I hardly know how to explain it. There's a wall between them and me. Mm-hmm. They walk in a different world from ours, and we shall always be strangers to them. Each day, when the convent door closes behind me, I feel that for them I have ceased to exist. Mm. It's as though they possess a secret which I'm unworthy to share.
Mm, I can understand that's something of a blow to your vanity.
Mm. Sir St. Joseph was singing your praises yesterday.
I don't believe it.
She was singing your failings, too.
Yeah, well, that I believe. They view me with a smiling tolerance.
Life is so strange. I feel like someone who's lived all her life by a duck pond and suddenly is shown the sea. Makes me a little breathless.
Hmm. What does Walter have in mind after the epidemic? Where will you go next?
To tell you truthfully, I never know what Walter has in mind.
Isn't that a terrifying way to live?
I don't know. I know I'm looking for something and I don't quite know what it is.
Well, some of us look for the way in opium. Some in God. Some of us in whiskey.
Hmm.
Yeah. And some in love. It's all the same way and it leads nowhither.
There was someone I loved in Hong Kong who hurt me very much. So greatly I thought I should die from it, if not from this epidemic. Hmm. And yet here I am, 2 months later, useful for the first time in my life, and I haven't thought or dreamt of that person in a week. I don't feel terrified at all. I feel strangely, suddenly free.
Good morning, children.
I finished the sewing, miss. Miss?
I'm just dizzy. I'm fine. I just feel a little. Cora!
Kitty. Kitty, can you hear me?
Oh, Mother. Mother, am I going to die? I don't want to die.
Of course you're not going to die.
Where's Walter? It's the cholera.
Calm, calm, my dear child. Your husband is much too busy to be troubled. Do you think you can stand?
That's it. Come.
Sit over here.
Have you not felt nauseous in these last 3 mornings? Is there not a special color in your cheeks?
Sir Saint Joseph has more experience of these things than I have, and she said at once what was the matter with you.
What do you mean?
Did the possibility of such a thing never occur to you? You are with child, my dear.
It's impossible. It isn't true.
I am convinced.
How long have you been married, my child?
2 years. A little less.
When my sister-in-law had been married as long as that, she already had 2 babies.
Oh, quelle joie pour le docteur.
Oh, oui. Yes, think what happiness for your husband. You only have to see him with babies. And the look on his face when he plays with them to see how enchanted he will be to have one of his own.
I feel very much better now. Thank you so much. I'll get back to my work.
Not today, my dear child. You have had a shock. You'd much better go home and rest yourself. We must take special care of you now. Dr. Fain will be overwhelmed with joy.
Yes?
I hope I didn't wake you. I knocked very, very gently.
What's the matter? Why are you back at this time of day?
The sisters said that you weren't well. I thought I had better come see what was the matter.
didn't they say?
The Mother Superior said that you must tell me yourself. Are you all right?
I'm going to have a baby. I don't know why it never occurred to me before. It was stupid of me, but what with one thing and another?
How long have you... When do you expect to be confined?
I suppose I've been like this between 2 and 3 months.
Am I the father? Well?
I know what it would mean to you.
What?
If I could say yes.
It's a simple question.
I've lied so much to you.
Am I the father?
I don't know.
It's an awful muddle, isn't it?
Walter...
I wouldn't try to do anything today. You'd better take it easy. Is there anything you want before I go?
No.
Perhaps you should go to your mother. This isn't the place for a woman in your condition.
Do you think she would be pleased to see me?
Then you can go to Hong Kong. You'll need a good deal of care and attention.
I don't know why you should suddenly be so anxious about my health. When you insisted on me coming here, did you want to kill me, Walter?
At first.
It was a terrible risk you were taking. I wonder if you could have ever forgiven yourself if I had died.
Well, you haven't. You've thrived on it.
I've never felt better in my life, and I don't want to go anywhere. I want to continue my work at the convent.
I shouldn't have thought you were the sort of person to put yourself out for a few stuffy nuns and a parcel of Chinese brats. You're not staying for my sake?
No. You don't love me. I often think I rather bore you. But you see, I'm in a peculiar position that I haven't got a soul in the world that I can go to. I know no one who cares a row of pins whether I'm dead or alive.
I'm afraid I must get back. I have a great deal of work to do.
You don't look well, Walter. You look exhausted. You must be half of what you weighed when you came here.
You'd better not wait for me this evening. I have to return to the convent and there are endless vaccinations after that.
If it makes any difference to you, Charles Townsend is nothing to me now.
We've made a dreadful hash of things, haven't we?
What are we going to do when we leave here? Are we going on living together?
Don't you think we can let the future take care of itself?
Mrs. Fain! Mrs. Fain!
What is it?
Can you get up or what?
I'm coming. What's wrong?
There's not a moment to lose. Put on a coat at once. Come with me.
Has something happened in the city?
Your husband's been taken ill. The colonel sent this officer and asked me to bring you to the barracks at once. Here, give me a hand. The deck's wet.
Fast, man!
Is it cholera?
I'm afraid so. He was taken ill this afternoon.
Why wasn't I sent for at once?
Colonel, you wanted to, but Walter... Walter wouldn't let him.
He's my husband.
He must be very brave. He must be prepared for the worst.
Is he dying?
I only know the message Colonel Yu gave to the officer. As far as I can judge, collapse has set in. I'm afraid that if we don't get there quickly, we shan't find him alive. He's in here. He's still alive. He's been overworking. He had no powers of resistance against the cholera.
Walter. Walter, speak to me.
This is a pretty kettle of fish.
Surely something can be done.
They've done everything possible. The regimental surgeon has been treating him.
Your husband trained him.
Walter, is there something we can do?
Don't fuss. I've had a rough passage, but I'm all right now.
It's awful to do nothing. Can I be left alone with him? Only for a minute.
We'll wait outside.
Walter, I'm so desperately sorry. I betrayed you, and I so bitterly regret it. Darling, my precious, my dear, if you ever loved me, I know you loved me, and I was hateful. I beg you to forgive me. I have no chance now to show you my repentance, but have mercy on me.
Lift not the veil.
Walter.
Lift not the veil.
Will you come, please? He doesn't seem to...
Doctor, will you check?
Doc. 我幫你檢查啊。佢冇脈。死咗啦。
I'm afraid he's dead.
Walter. I'm sorry to give you so much trouble.
Shall we sit down a little? It's a beautiful morning.
This epidemic will soon end, and the bodies will lie underground, and the morning light will be tranquil as it ever was. It seems cruel.
I find it reassuring.
When they washed Walter before they put him into the coffin, he looked very young. Too young to die. Supposing there is no life everlasting. Think of those wonderful nuns in the convent. They've sacrificed home and country and love and freedom. Supposing they've given it all up for nothing.
I wonder if it matters. No, I have an idea that the only thing which makes it possible to regard this world we live in without disgust is the beauty which now and then we create out of the chaos. Men and women may paint pictures, compose music, write books, but the richest beauty is the beautiful life. The life lived with kindness and with conviction. That's the perfect work of art. You know, I think you should make plans to return home. You must think of your child.
I have nowhere to go.
Wouldn't your mother have you? I've spoken to the Mother Superior. With the epidemic abating and two new sisters coming from Canton, they'll soon have little need for you and... well, in your
so
condition.
It's all been decided?
Well, of course I'll miss you terribly, but you needn't stay on my account.
There's a house in Hong Kong. I'll have to go back there first. There's a whole world I'd rather not return to.
When you get to Hong Kong, would you do something for me? Keep out of the way of Charles Townsend.
Why do you say that?
Ah, maybe just a drunken customs man, but I see some things. I saw how your eyes leapt when I mentioned his name. Your first day here, he's the one you spoke about. Am I wrong? He's truly not worthy of you.
I give you my full assurance. There's no one I wish to see less. The journey travelled with Walter just months before, all seen in duplicate and in reverse.
the bearers beating their untiring path past peasants in their blue rags, the women tottering with their loads and their bound feet, the morning fields shimmering with the enchantment of fairy tale, and growing with every mile a new notion. Escape. Freedom.
Mrs. Fane! Oh, my dear, I'm so glad I caught you. I am so dreadfully sorry for your loss.
It's very kind of you.
Your boat's early. Very nearly didn't get down in time.
But you didn't come to meet me.
The customs man, Mr. Waddington, sent a telegram to the governor. When I heard the news, I simply couldn't stay away.
It's awfully good of you, Mrs. Townsend.
Will you do me a great favour? Charlie and I want you to come and stay with us while you're in Hong Kong.
I couldn't possibly.
Well, you can't live by yourself.
I'm afraid I'm not very good company among strangers just now.
Need we be strangers? I so want you to allow me to be your friend. When I heard that you had gone with your husband into the jaws of death without a moment's hesitation, please, say you'll come to us.
If you really mean that you'd like to have me, of course I shall be glad to come.
There you are.
Thank you.
Am I late? I hope I haven't kept you waiting. I had to meet with the governor. I'm so very, very glad you've come here, Mrs. Fane. We want you to stay as long as ever you like. Your husband was a thundering good chap, and he'll be missed here more than I can say.
Don't, Charlie. I'm sure Kitty understands.
I'm glad to see you're enjoying Dorothy's famous hospitality. It'll do you good. I'm sure there's no such thing as a cocktail in Mei Tan Fu.
You're not mistaken.
Once you've rested, we shall need to have a little business talk, Mrs. Fane. We must make arrangements about your house, and then there's the furniture. You know you're entitled to a pension.
There's really no need.
Put yourself in our hands. All we want you to do is get fit and well. Isn't that right, Dorothy?
Of course.
Ah, so you are in here.
I don't recall asking you to come in.
What's that you're reading?
A book.
Dorothy's gone to a garden party at Government House.
Why haven't you gone too?
I thought I'd keep you company. The car's outside. Would you like to come for a drive around the island?
Do you think we have anything to say to one another?
Oh, you're not still angry with me.
Not a bit. I despise you too much to be angry.
Well, I think you're rather hard on me. Now that you know Dorothy, you must admit she's rather nice. It would have been a rotten trick to play on her if we'd bolted. She really is the best wife a man ever had.
You're despicable.
I'm human. I don't know why you should think me such a cad, because I fell head over heels in love with you. And now it's all over. You must see I acted for the best for both of us.
You hardly expect me to forget that you sent me to almost certain death without a shadow of compunction.
Oh, what nonsense. You've come back, haven't you?
And Walter?
Oh, nothing suits you so well as black. Oh, for God's sake, don't cry. It was only a joke. I'd give anything to have Walter back again.
He died because of you and me. He died of a broken heart.
Kitty.
He was worth 10 of you, and I was too big a fool to see it.
I didn't mean to upset you.
Don't touch me.
You know, I've always loved you.
How can you tell such lies?
I know I've been a brute to you, but forgive me.
How could you be so unkind? Don't you know that I loved you? No one has ever loved you as I loved you.
Oh, Kitty?
Hello.
I didn't think you were at home.
Where are you going?
I got a place on a ship last minute. I've written Dorothy a letter.
And what about me?
What about you?
Well, I thought after yesterday you'd feel a little more kindly toward me.
I feel absolutely degraded. I feel like an animal. You can't despise me any more than I despise myself.
I don't despise you. I meant every word I said to you yesterday.
Why couldn't you leave me alone?
Dorothy tells me you're going to have a baby. Am I by any chance the father?
No. It's Walter's child.
Are you sure? The dates seem to fit all right.
I'd rather kill myself than have a child of yours.
Oh, come now, that's nonsense. I should be awfully pleased and proud. You know there's no need for this. I could help you. I could set you up somewhere in England. Send you money. I'd come and visit. You'd live very well.
It won't be your child, Charlie. Not even if it bears your face exactly. Nothing of me is yours. You really are the most vain and fatuous ass that it's ever been my bad luck to run across. My dear Mr. Waddington, you wouldn't believe what's become of me. I sailed from Hong Kong to Marseille, and from there to the coast. I found a little house to rent for next to nothing. You'll laugh at me knowing how catastrophic my French is, but I'm learning. Call it folly, but I've become certain that my child is to be a girl. A little girl who looked to me for love, for guidance, can you imagine? I'll bring her up to be independent and free and honest. What else? I'll teach her to live a beautiful life. How's that? I've been foolish and wicked and hateful in ways you'll never know. I almost died for love, and yet I never knew a thing about it. Walter knew. Poor Walter knew completely. He said something to me in that dark barracks room that I thought gibberish. I've discovered it to be a quotation from a poem. I think perhaps I'm beginning to make sense of it. Lift not the painted veil which those who live call life, though unreal shapes be pictured there. Through the unheeding many heeded move, a splendour among shadows, a bright blot upon this gloomy scene, a spirit that strove for truth, and like the preacher, found it not.
The Painted Veil by W. Somerset Maugham was dramatised by Lizzie Nunnery and starred Sarah Smart, Nicholas Farrell and James Nickerson. It was directed by Pauline Harris and the Chinese consultant was Jing Griffin.